Hey everybody, it's Sam with National Sports Overtime, and I meant to get this out to you guys last night. However, I don't know if any of you heard of the Daily Betting Podcast. I had been up like 26 hours straight, and I just needed to go to bed. So, I had a bunch of meetings this morning, and then since people have been bugging me, I did go ahead and go to the doctor about my cough, and they don't know what it is, but quit writing me and telling me I need to get tested for COVID. I'm fine. I've been tested. I feel like I've been tested more than the NFL football players have. But it's not COVID so far. I know some of you are betting when it's going to turn into it. But let's hope not. You guys pray that I'll get my voice going again. But let's talk NFL. You guys know that I have missed football, especially some of you who listen to the Daily Sports Betting Podcast. The last month has absolutely killed me having to bet on baseball every single day. I've picked up betting on golf and on soccer, on NASCAR, anything to get me out of betting baseball over and over and over. So, to have college football back, I was so excited. I am a tried and true college football fan. I'm a Florida Gator, and just cannot help it. But I really enjoy the NFL. There's been a couple seasons in the past couple years that I haven't really followed. Haven't had the time or wanted to spend the time on it. Was getting into other sports, other hobbies or whatever, and football just didn't feel like football. No, let me rephrase that. The NFL just didn't feel like the NFL that I had always known and loved. And so, I guess last year, I got really back into it. And with this past NFL's week one producing some unexpected game winners, some pure absolute craziness in overtimes and in the final minutes of a game, I was drawn in, I guess I have to say, because the NFL season got off to kind of a chaotic start, with several different surprising results, and nothing could have been more chaotic than the final game of week one on Monday Night Football. The game that I'm talking about is the Baltimore Ravens and the Las Vegas Raiders. I love John Gruden. I watched his training camp, what was it, 2 years ago? And I knew I enjoyed him as a coach of the Raiders the first time, and then when he moved to Tampa Bay, and then he became an analysis. I fell in love with his analysis show that he always did before the draft, a meeting with quarterbacks and different high-profile players going over different stuff, making them draw on the board. I really got into that, but I, on my betting show, I just couldn't pick them. How can you usually go against John Harbaugh's Baltimore Ravens? Their defense is usually pretty unreal, and if they get a quarterback to run their system, you know, they're pretty hard to beat. And the Raiders spent the majority of the game trailing. I thought, this is easy money. I quickly learned that, no, Gruden's Las Vegas Raiders aren't going to give up. They came away with a hard-fought 33-27 win in overtime. That was pure chaos. There is, as of now, I don't know when it'll get taken down, but I'm sure it will get taken down very soon, on YouTube, a clip of, I think it's a minute 30, minute 40, where it is just total chaos. And I'm not going to go play by play and tell you everything when it's just quicker for you to go and watch it. But I sat stunned. But I'll tell you what, it was so good, I didn't mind losing my bet. And it is very few times I've ever said that. So, hopefully that'll be the last time, though, in the NFL. I thought the biggest surprise of the weekend, though, was the Pittsburgh Steelers upsetting the Buffalo Bills. Now, I used to write for Sports Obsessive, and there they had a gentleman named Tom that was Buffalo Bills fanatic, and he almost borderline reminded me of Tim Russert, if any of you guys remember him on Meet the Press. He was also a Buffalo Bills fanatic, and this guy Tom wrote some amazing articles. I'm not sure that he's still with Sports Obsessive, but I'll tell you what, if he is, and you want to know the minutiae about the Buffalo Bills, you definitely want to be looking him up. Not that I'm, you know, touting or playing favorites of one site over another or anything like that. That's not what I'm doing. But he does know the Buffalo Bills. And so, I guess from reading about them as a coworker and then his editor, that I kind of jumped on the Buffalo Bills bandwagon a little bit last year. And I felt like, I don't know, I knew their team, didn't root for them, didn't really like them. But I felt like I got to know them. And I guess when I was breaking this game down, that I didn't really remember that the Pittsburgh Steelers had won their first 11 games of the 2020 regular season. Now, it has to be pointed out that they dropped 5 out of the last 6 games, which included losing to the Cleveland Browns in a wild card game. The Cleveland Browns, one of Pittsburgh Steelers' biggest rivals. And a lot of the fans were jumping all over Big Ben. And they were telling him, basically, to retire. that they needed him gone. And I'm talking the fan base. Not just writing it on Twitter or Reddit or Pittsburgh Steelers forums or anything. Like, actually telling him when he was going to a restaurant, "Hey Ben, I've loved your career, I supported you through thick and thin, but now it's time for you to retire." Big Ben has said that. And, you know, he said he did a lot of thinking, not about what the fans said, but what his body was telling him, what his mom was telling him. And could he come back for his 18th season? After going to a couple OTAs and voluntaries and meetings and stuff, he did. He knew that the fans had blamed him for a lot of the losing. But I'll tell you what, on Sunday, he got it done. You can't really say squeaked out a win 23-16, but they got a lot of help from Pittsburgh's stellar defense. It seems like they always had. What was it, back in the 70s, I guess? They had the steel curtain. I mean, I've watched some of those when ESPN Classics were around. At the time, I think I liked it because I got to hear kind of what my dad thought. But there were times I didn't want to watch ESPN Classic and listen to my dad break down the Boston Celtics versus the Philadelphia 76ers or the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Dallas Cowboys. But I'm glad for it now. But I think what happened this weekend that intrigued me and has got me more back into the NFL is the different questions that people had been talking about, and then some questions that got raised this weekend. Kind of like, is Kyler Murray ready to have an MVP season? I mean, it seems like every year, the media, the fans, they want to see some new, young, athletic quarterback that's going to take over their team, take over the league, take over the world, that's going to be able to match LeBron James or Messier in soccer, or I guess Ronaldo in soccer, that's going to be the young talent. And, you know, last season, Kyler Murray couldn't even get the Cardinals to the playoffs. He ended up with a shoulder injury, but I'll tell you what, after seeing him play against the Tennessee Titans, I think all of the fans are getting back on his bandwagon. I've been reading stuff Monday and Tuesday about he is the pick that you need to bet on for MVP. And while I don't get into that stuff as nearly as much as a game or something like that, it's hard to argue when he had 4 passing touchdowns and 1 rushing touchdown against them. But I didn't get a chance to watch that game. I only got a chance to really kind of watch the highlights. Are the Tennessee Titans any good? And I meant to kind of have a question mark there. They didn't look real good, but was that because Kyler Murray didn't allow them to be good? Or are they really not good? Because there were plays that they showed in some of the highlights, guys, it looked like I could make it through some of those holes. Let me go ahead and give you a little hint. I'm not real fast. So, yeah. I'm going to wait till week two before I get anywhere near the Kyler Murray bandwagon. And maybe after week two, I'll go look at it. I'm not ready to jump on it. Now, another question that I couldn't believe before the games this weekend, that people even had the, I don't know, the guts to even say, is Jameis Winston an upgrade over Drew Brees? Drew Brees, who got known and put basically Purdue on the map. He was a Purdue quarterback that people would tune in to watch and got recruits to even look at Purdue when most of them, really, if they were going to go to the Big Ten, we're looking at Michigan and Ohio State. Drew Brees, who was out in the Chargers and actually really made the Chargers, and then they decided to draft Phillip Rivers and go with him as quarterback. We all know the saga of him ending up at the New Orleans Saints and Hurricane Katrina happening. And Drew Brees kind of leading that city back and giving them hope. That's who I think of. I don't think of the Drew Brees that played last year. So I hope that's what people in, you know, sports analysis on podcasts, on TV, that's what they were talking about. Because if you're going to compare Winston to Drew Brees overall in his career, yeah, I don't know about that. Now, I've got to give him credit. Winston, he was efficient, he was smart, and he was pretty much mistake-free in his first game as a Saint. And I have to answer, yeah, he was definitely better than last season's Drew Brees was. But let's not go overboard and start comparing Saints' careers here. I think you're going to see the real Jameis Winston eventually. Is it going to be this coming weekend? I don't know. But I do look for it to come this season. Remember, I was the one that called Cam Newton. If you don't believe me, my articles are out there. Me going through how Cam Newton, don't take a chance on him. And I even predicted, I believe you can find it on theovertimenetwork.com, that he wouldn't be in New England long. He didn't fit their system. He didn't buy into their beliefs and values and their team philosophy. I don't know whether Winston will or not. For Sean Payton and the Saints, I hope so. I hope so for Winston. I hope so for their fan base. But again, I'm not ready to jump on that bandwagon. Now, this last one hurts me. I told you at the beginning of this podcast episode, I was a Florida Gator. Is the Urban Meyer experiment turned into a disaster already. I hope not. I actually watched some of this game, and there were points they made Houston look like a Super Bowl-ready team. But then there were other times they looked decent. Trevor Lawrence, the rookie quarterback that Urban Meyer kind of hitched his wagon to, threw for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. Yeah, yeah, I hear you. All of you going, but, sounding like a motorboat. But Sam, he had 3 interceptions. Yeah, I know. And I know he put up some garbage time stats, but he's a rookie. He needs all the time he can get. So I will defend Coach Meyer or any other coach for leaving the rookie quarterback in during garbage time. But I think what I should have known from the beginning, from following Urban Meyer from Utah to Florida to time off and him watching, you know, his daughter play volleyball, college volleyball, and then him taking the job at Ohio State, having to give it up. I should have known. He usually hires a strong defensive coordinator that will basically take the defense and go run with it. And leave him alone about the defense. Well, I'm afraid Coach Meyer is going to have to go over there and get his hands dirty with the defense somewhat this season. Because their defense allowed Houston to score 37 points. And Houston's offense is bad. What are real offenses going to do to Jacksonville's defense? I mean, when they played some of the top teams in the league, are we looking at getting 60 points scored on the Jaguars? What scares me is, are we actually going to see Trevor Lawrence throw like 700 times this season? Does he need to? Should we want him to? So, I'm a little worried about Jacksonville. The cons who own the Jacksonville Jaguars are the same people that own AEW Wrestling. They're the same people that own, you know, a soccer team over in the Premier League. I don't know that they won the championship this year. I think it was last year. They know how to hire coaches or hire people in the sports business that can take them where they want to go. Or can they in the NFL? I think that's the question. Guys, write me your answers. I truly want to know what you guys think the first week of the NFL. Getting ready to do my bets, getting ready, you know, to do some predictions and stuff. Tell me what you think. Write me at nationalsportsovertime@gmail.com. Or you can get on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Nat, N-A-T, Sports, O-T. And if you want to private message me or direct message me, it is open and available. Or I guess you can say something on Reddit and I'll find you. I'm not really ready to reveal who I am on Reddit yet, if ever. Anyway, I'll talk to you guys soon, and hopefully someday I'll see you down the road.